After 32 years, I came out of the closet as a gay Christian pastor. Finally, on the outside of that suffocating prison, I'm looking around and I'm like, we can't stay here. It's not enough to become informed. We have to do something about the harm we're still witnessing within systems and spaces we've been loyal to for so long. It's time we become reformers. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Confessions of a Reformer. I'm your host, Mike Miyashiro, and I have a confession. I love movies and TV shows, like good movies, good shows, right? I'm a big fan of storytelling. So a big part of my life that I don't talk about a ton is I go to the movie theater on a regular basis and I watch shows. I kind of binge at times, right? So anyway, the reason I'm saying that is there was a period of time in my coming out process that movies and shows were a significant part of me affirming myself. I needed some significant representation and like affirmation in the midst of a very scary, vulnerable time where I was learning to accept myself as a gay man, but still had so much like deeply entrenched evangelical dogma like in my psyche. And so I was, you know, I'd wake up and have this like thrill and hope of like, what if I could be free and be myself and fully like celebrate who I am whilst also being met with, but you could be deceived. What if you're wrong? What if you're leading other people astray? What if you, you know, what if all this paranoia and doubt? And one of the comforting solaces I had in that very isolating window of my journey was watching movies and TV shows with queer characters and narratives around justice and advocacy and representation and equality and inclusion and equity. And some of these words I literally didn't even have in my vocabulary back then. Like I didn't understand that stuff. Some of it, a lot of it actually. It's kind of embarrassing admitting how ignorant I was in evangelicalism, and it kind of reveals how easily that worldview and dogma, what? Dogma can be weaponized against its adherents, especially if you're like not a straight white man, you know? Like, so anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is I would like to do a series specifically highlighting some of the films and shows that were really impactful for me, both in my coming out process and then afterward, in my advocacy, in me learning to become more conscious of justice and equity and privilege and, you know, representation. Like that was like a big part of my development as a gay man, being confident and out and proud about that. And so I want to kind of give a shout out to some of these and share why and how they impacted me. So that one, if you haven't seen them, you might have an interest in like go, you know, check them out. Or two, if you have seen them, maybe getting to like derive some of what I pulled from there in it too. And then I also get to stir up some conversation. Would love to hear from all of you, like things that came up for you in these spaces and other films and movies that or shows that I haven't seen that you would recommend as well. But like, I remember one of the big pieces of growing up in an evangelical home was I didn't have language for it and would never have said it out loud, but I do remember an aching feeling of loneliness. Being in an evangelical home, I would not have known to term it that way. And that there was this respite from that like isolationist feeling when I would watch movies or shows, when I would see things, especially like from Hollywood, right? Like when the liberal media is how that would have been termed back then, you know, would share these stories. They would have the audacity or, you know, like the gumption to tell a certain story or showcase a certain kind of character or center a certain kind of theme. I remember feeling championed, encouraged, identified with in a way that I didn't have language for, but it was comforting and it felt like a relief from that isolated, lonely, oppressive experience of being a gay kid in evangelicalism. So I think I kind of developed this intense affinity for movies and storytelling. And I wonder, you know, hindsight, like if some of my fixation on story was a form of escape, right? Of trying to like get out of a prison or a cage that I didn't understand and could not find a way out of, but these movies and shows like created a a little pocket of relief that allowed me to explore a different world and have different feelings and consider different narratives and possibilities that just, you know, weren't available every other time of the day. And so I wonder if some of that fixation has just perpetuated in my life, even though I've thankfully like left that isolated prison. And so one of the things I wanted to bring up in this was the power of representation. I had heard that before I came out of the closet, you know, representation matters or whatever. And I, at the time, again, don't love admitting this, but like that kind of sentiment would be logged under, oh, that's like a woke, leftist, liberal, democratic, you know, agenda that's like trying to deceive people. I wouldn't have said it like that. I don't think I ever really talked that way. And I don't know if even that I had that like demonizing, fearful worldview to the degree that it was like practiced around me, but I did have a regard for it, right? And there was a sense of warning and threat around that. So Hollywood, you know, with all of its glitz and glamour and like great impact, also had this undercurrent of demonic influence and like worldliness and like a celebration of sin and, you know, in my mind. So it was like a mixed bag. But when I was coming out and I'm watching these movies with these gay characters or watching people like struggle through these issues and like it being an honest, artistic, and like beautiful message of redemption and forgiveness and inclusion and, you know, like loving your neighbor in ways that I never saw or experienced in the church, there was something really healing and powerful about it. But I would use the word necessary. There was something necessary for me there. I remember there were days, many days, where I didn't want to talk to anybody else. I didn't want to write anything. I didn't want to communicate or express or like combat anything. I just wanted to watch a movie, movies plural. I remember I just watched so many movies and shows at that time in my life. And part of me was like, am I just trying to escape reality? And I was aware, like, there were seasons of my life where that happened. Like one time I got kicked out of ministry school for being gay and I was humiliated and ashamed and just disgraced and shocked and stunned. And I remember for like a couple of months, I moved in with a friend. I moved out of my original living situation into a 2-bedroom apartment with a friend of mine who was at work most of the time. And I like locked myself in my room. I had a TV in there with a DVD player and like a stack of movies and shows that I ordered on Amazon. And I would just watch movie after show, after bingeable show, after movie, just to escape, right? And numb out and like detach from reality. And I did that for a couple of months. And I was aware this is not healthy. What I'm doing is not good for me, but I don't know how else to do, I don't know how to do anything else, right? So I remember what it was like to disassociate and just like check out, right? This was not that. So when I was coming out and like watching all these movies and shows, I was aware my intent and like the thing I was running after was different than that period of time in my life where I was just escaping. I was hungry. I wasn't escaping. I was hunting. I was looking for and gathering voices and experiences and characters around me to help bolster this new consideration I was like venturing into, that what if me being gay isn't a bad thing? What if I'm allowed to be gay? What if being gay isn't gross or awful or sinful or against God? What if, right? It was just that question. It was like a new question. The what if used to be, what if the devil's trying to get you? What if this is sinful? What if, you know, what if you're going to get caught? What if, you know, what if, all those what ifs. And then in this period of time, the what if changed to, what if there's never been anything wrong with you? What if you're exactly what you're supposed to be? What if God loves this part of you? What if you're supposed to be like this, right? That was a new what if consideration. And I just needed to find evidence and support and like solidarity to affirm this new consideration and experience what it felt like and like experience the impact and the results of, you know, moving into that. And I didn't have anyone around me who was affirming. Like I had so curated my environment for so many years, especially like being in leadership at a prominent church, like my association was like very selected, right? Like there was a very specific kind of Christian that made up the majority of the people who influenced my life and I associated with. And none of them, to my knowledge, were affirming of LGBTQ+ people. So I sought movies and shows to find comfort and community and social proof that who I was and what I was like was valid. And so watched movies, watched shows, so helpful. And I want to take some episodes in this series to unpack some of those experiences. And so in this intro episode, one of the things I wanted to say is on this side of the experience, representation mattered. I was all of a sudden like, whoa, representation does matter. This is so impactful for me because I remember seeing gay characters and seeing gay struggles and gay challenges and relationships with non-affirming people in a gay character's life. I remember seeing some of my struggles, my fears, my pain being displayed in these movies and shows and these stories and feeling seen and feeling for the first time in such a significant way, like I'm not crazy, like I'm not alone, like what I've known my whole life is not it, that there are actually other people out there who know differently, who know better, there are options, like what if, right? They just kept affirming that what if question and pulling me forward. So when the second Frozen movie came out and Elsa's going on this journey of like into the unknown, right? She's like being haunted by this voice, this song in the wind, right? In the distance, in the dark, away from her protected castle. Like, I can hear you. I don't remember the lyrics anymore. But like, this voice is like here to ruin her life and disrupt her life, right? And like threaten her with possibility and change. And she's like, go away. I don't want you anywhere near me. The first part of the song, right? And then toward the end, she's like leaving everything behind and taking the risk to go out there and discover what is this thing that I can't explain, I can't describe, that no one else is hearing, but I'm being compelled by, what is it? I've got to search it out. Like, that's how this felt for me. Like, I was being compelled to explore the unknown, right? In my journey, in my identity, that I couldn't prove to anyone else was there, but I was very much arrested by it, right? So representation all of a sudden became such a high, beautiful mechanic in art that I had not really like considered to that degree before. And since then now, I'm like so thankful for the people who got that and did the work to put characters like me out in the world and tell those kinds of stories. Because for so long, I was not allowed to watch those stories, celebrate those characters, identify with them. And so oddly enough, people were advocating for me and doing justice work on my behalf in the media, in Hollywood, in Disney, more than they were doing it in the church. And that was like really sobering and frustrating and like such an awareness of betrayal. I had been living in this internment camp that was torturous and gaslighting and forcing me to cope with the cognitive dissonance of, you know, like saying something's happening when it's not and denying that something is happening when it is. And so that was like such a huge liberating step for me. I pulled from movies and shows to quell the fear that I was crazy, that I was deceived, that I was just looking for an excuse to sin. And all this, you know, was catalyzed by some deep conviction that, like, you know, I had been betraying God this whole time by denying who I was and pretending to be straight and whatever. So representation matters. It's like, I think one of my big points in this, it's a big deal. And it matters for people who are not in the majority, right? So if you're a cisgender, heterosexual, white man, you might not care about representation. If anything, you might feel like representation is a waste of time or getting in the way of what really matters, right? But if you're anybody else in America who's not a cishet white dude, representation matters. And you know that, right? Because your experience is so different from what has been traditionally platformed as the most important, the most centered, the most dominant and powerful. And when you're being told your whole life in all kinds of messaging that you're not important, that you are not the priority, that you are actually secondary or subservient or here to, you know, serve someone else's existence, like that is damaging messages that like really disempower you from being able to be who you are and enjoy that person. And so representation shows up and like really delivers something new and different than you'd experienced up to that point. And for those of us who have spent, you know, most of our lives being misrepresented or underrepresented or not represented at all, you get it, right? Like that's a big deal. But there were things that I discovered in this process that I didn't know I didn't know until it happened. I remember when George Floyd was murdered And, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement was picking up and the riots were kicking out. And it was 2020 and we were in a crazy time in America. I mean, we were a crazy time in the world, right? But like in America, we had a very specific conflict going on that was like layered and there were dimensions to it. And I was not prepared. And so I remember when that was happening, I didn't understand some of what was going on. And I was aware, like, I'm missing something because I don't feel the way people are expressing themselves here. And I feel kind of defensive based on how strong this message is coming across. And then I was like, ew, I'm like, why is the thing in me like resisting what I perceive to be, you know, like something that looks like justice and like taking up the cause of someone, of a people group who need support and help and protection? Why am I resisting that, right? So I had to like check myself, and that was a very real struggle I had. And guess what I did? I like stopped posting. I stopped like expressing myself out in public, and I hunkered down and watched and listened and read. Like I read articles and watched movies and documentaries, just on the Black experience, specifically in America. And I had opportunities to see these things before, but I hadn't. And I was like, what am I missing? And so I just went to storytelling again to try and like hear a different message than what my community had been telling me this whole time on this particular subject. And by the seventh day, I don't know why I have these like measurements of time like mapped out, but I think I just observe, you know, my own process sometimes. When something significant shifts, I try to track like the cause and effect and the time periods and whatever to just like get a grid for how these things play out. So on day seven of this process, I was watching 13th, I think is what it was called, a documentary on Netflix. And something broke in the middle of that movie. I mean, they showed a lot of images of lynchings, you know, just like Black bodies hanging from trees surrounded by a mob of white people and KKK, you know, clowns. And it was, you know, horrific, obviously, to witness, but it was like doing something to me on a human level beyond the rhetoric and the statistics and the... And that was like really humanizing and sobering, and it broke me, and I was crying quite a bit and just felt so grieved at how like much of this I didn't get and how much I'd missed already up to that point in this whole experience we were having as a country, and like ashamed for like who I was a part of and who spoke for me in a lot of ways and who I'd been listening to on things like this. You know, and I didn't have the language for it at the time, but like the privilege I had enjoyed at not needing to care about any of this, like it was really painful to have to like come to terms with that. My point in saying all that is like, it wasn't one person. It wasn't one event. I went to movies and shows, and in that case, documentaries as well, to hear voices and characters and representation beyond, you know, study and research and info. Like I needed to connect to the human experience of it. And that's what like pushed me over the edge and allowed me to tap into the empathy I actually do possess, right? And like my ability to actually connect to Black people in this country and what they were experiencing in a way that I was uninformed about, right? Like I got it on some level, but there was a human part of it I did not connect to yet up to that point. And so that was game changing for me. And it's embarrassing to have to admit how late it was in my life that that happened. But I all of a sudden finally had to like face it. Not had to. I chose to face it and like found something different than what I'd known up to that point. And all of that was coming from what's been put out there in the quote unquote media, right? And I'm so thankful for that. So I want to take a moment in my podcast journey to kind of highlight a couple of key movies or shows that impacted me in the areas of deconstruction. Maybe deconstruction is at the bottom of the list. In the areas of affirming the LGBTQ+ community, including myself, in learning about privilege and social justice, I think so much of my own ability to wake up to what I didn't know and like gain an ear of listening came from much of these experiences. Or these experiences like exposed and solidified the further I had gotten down the journey of becoming more socially aware and responsible. So anyway, we're gonna do that. I'm gonna take some time to make shorter episodes and just kind of unpack some of these. I'm hoping it's helpful, relatable, eye-opening. I'm hoping this series isn't boring and feels unnecessary. I'm hoping that it can be a constructive addition to this bigger conversation that we're having, or maybe conversations that aren't happening yet that should be. So anyway, as always, thank you everyone for being here and being part of my podcast and listening. I appreciate your support. If you want, if you can comment, like, share, rate my podcast, that would be much appreciated. If you have any suggestions or your own stories you'd love to share, I actually want to hear them. So if you want to email me at contact@mikemayashiro.com, would love that. You can DM me on Instagram. I want to say this clearly. Is that true? I read virtually every DM I get. Some of them, you know, are spam or whatever, and I'll just get rid of them. But for the most part, I read every DM I get. So please, like, let me know if you have suggestions or just want to share your story or give me any feedback. I'm all ears. I want to hear it. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you in the next episode. Listen, there's more where this came from. If you want to dive deeper, check out mikemayashiro.com.